Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. I've got another Jewish man that is red hot for the Messiah. His name is Neil Russell. I'm speaking to him at his home in Queenstown, Maryland. He is a high school teacher at Annapolis. Is it Annapolis High School, Neil?
Annapolis High School.
And what do you teach?
I've been teaching science at Annapolis High since I was 20 years old. And my kids need a shout out. Okay, so hey, Annapolis High.
Okay, they're listening to us. I have got a copy of your brand new book. And Neil, I have to tell you, I am thrilled over it. The title of the book is Newton's Riddle. It's one of these historical fiction books that is so timely that I want to shout how timely it is, because you talk about a woman that becomes the first president of the United States. You talk about what is going on in Israel at this moment, at this precise second, and you talk about things that our intelligence has revealed through natural knowledge, but there is a supernatural quality about this book. Why did you write the book?
Well, back in 2005, I was watching in disgust as people I worked with and students I taught were reading a book called The Da Vinci Codes. And knowing that this was a heresy, you know, Satan's greatest tool is to spread a big lie. And it seems like people just eat that up. And I just became to the point that I needed something to be an alternative. And I got fired up. I contacted, tried to contact Mel Gibson. And at the same time, people were flocking to the movie theaters to see this movie called The Passion. I mean, every movie theater in the world was filled. So I knew people wanted to see and hear the truth. But there was just this need. I felt that people needed more truth. They also were watching Harry Potter, and they were watching about demons that were perverted. Most people you talk to have a really there is a misconception of what demons do and who demons are. And most people don't even believe that they exist. So I really wanted to do something, so I tried contacting Mel Gibson and take that money that I think I heard somewhere that he had made over $650 million on The Passion, and take that money and invest it into a really good project. I read a book in the late 1980s called This Present Darkness, which opened my eyes to the supernatural. A lot of people today have never heard of Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness. In
fact, and by the way, that's one of the things I love about your book, because you write it on two levels. You write it on the natural level, and then what's going on in the spirit realm, making different people throughout the world react in the way they do. And I think anyone can see the supernatural so clearly through your book.
Well, praise God, because that wasn't Neil Russell. That had to have been God.
You told me that you don't even type very well, but what happened when you started on this book?
I would sit down every single time for 1 year, 4 months, and 2 days, and I would just say, Father, I sit here as a willing vessel. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. And I would, after that, say, to your glory, give me your words and your wisdom to your glory, amen. And Sid, the thoughts that came out of my mind were not mine. My fingers were just seconds behind the thoughts, and people that know me, including my wife, were just amazed to stand in back of me and watch me type. So I knew that was from God. It was not from Neil.
Now, tell me a bit about Sir Isaac Newton. Not that many people know anything about him beyond he was involved with the law of gravity.
Isaac Newton was the provost or the head of Cambridge University, and that happened when he was only 23 years old. He was also a proponent of intelligent design. And for today's world in which we try to eliminate God, he was one of the most supportive proponents of God in science.
How is he ranked as scientist throughout all of history?
I would say that he's number one. I mean, if you mention scientist, people would probably first think of Isaac Newton, probably followed by Einstein. And as I said, he was the smartest man. He was so smart that they didn't even have a math back then to solve his equation. So he came up with calculus. And that tells you that this man was smart.
And tell me a bit about his love for God.
Isaac Newton was a devout Christian. One of the things he felt that God had placed him here. In fact, he signed all of his letters with a pseudonym, which was Jehovah Sanctus Unus, which means Jehovah the Holy One. And he thought, truly thought that he was one of the few chosen, ordained at birth with God's special wisdom. And he saw himself in the same class as Moses, Plato, and Galileo. And he felt that God had placed him here not only to find out how the universe worked, but also to find out secrets that were hidden in the scriptures, especially all the scriptures pointing to Christ's return.
As we know, no one knows the exact day or the hour of his return, but he studied the prophet Daniel and Revelation, but Daniel in particular, and he actually came up, and I Googled him, that's how I know this, and he said the world would end no later than 2060, but then you extrapolated information from his writings, and you came up with a specific year that's fairly soon, and I won't give it away. You'll have to get your book, Newton's Riddle.
Thank you, Steve.
But I think a lot of people will be shocked when they see this. Now, why in the world did you have one of the characters, the world's first female president of the United States? Where did that come from?
When I was writing that chapter, this is before anybody out there committed themselves to running in the elections that are coming up. And as I said, when I would sit and I would pray and I'd ask God's, and I would ask for his supernatural wisdom and knowledge, which I didn't have, and I didn't pick that particular person. I believe it was God. I believe when you read those chapters, you can actually take those names that are out there in the newspaper and plug those in to the people you see running. So, again, it was simply I really depended 100% on the Holy Spirit's wisdom and foreknowledge because I didn't have it.
Now, of course, since you're a high school instructor and the book has just come out, but you've had a number of your students read this book. What's their reaction to it?
I truly believe this is, again, God. I teach in a public high school, and to have a book that's loaded with biblical prophecy and scriptures read by students, that's God. It has to be. Every student that has actually read it has come up to me and said, I'd like to share this with other people. How can I get a copy? See, students, one thing, we have sanitized God out of the public arena, especially in the public schools. And students at that age, especially around 16 to 18 years old, they're looking for their future. They're looking for that type of foundation that, you know, that we have. That's truth. And it's not being found in public schools. When they read the truth, they get excited. And that's what's happening. These kids are really excited. They're coming up to me, they're hearing about the book, and they want to buy it.
What I find fascinating is this book is written, and very well written, on two levels. On the natural level, and on a supernatural level, where you begin to see how demons and angels are active in our lives and active in the affairs of nations and in the affairs of politics and even who the next president of the United States is going to be. But you began to have your eyes opened supernaturally because on the date that you got your contract from the publisher for this book, what did your wife tell you happened?
It was the end of January 2007, and that night my wife was sitting up in bed, and she hadn't fallen asleep yet. I asked her, I really questioned on this, and she was alert. She heard the sound of a whirlwind entering our front door, going down the foyer, entering her bedroom door, passing to her bed, and a force struck her right under her rib cage and her abdomen with enough force to lurch her forward. And Cindy was completely healthy up until that moment. She was as healthy as I've ever known her. We've been married for 35 years. She's never had a health problem until that next day.
And what did the doctor say was wrong with her?
Well,
the worst scenario, they said.
Well, during the month of February, this is 2007, she gradually started losing her appetite, and she was showing symptoms of a gallbladder problem. I had symptoms of that myself, and that's all we were thinking. We went to our primary care physician, and he felt the same thing. So he ordered an ultrasound. But on March 11th of 2007, as we were getting ready for church, Cindy came up to me and said, "Neil, we need to go to the hospital now." And went to the emergency room at Anne Arundel General in Annapolis, Maryland, and still thinking gallbladder. She had an ultrasound and came back that the ultrasound for the gallbladder was fine, but there was something wrong with the liver. And when she told me that, I can't explain how chills just filled my body, but I was in shock, complete shock. From the ultrasound, they did a CAT scan, and the CAT scan showed that there was some large mass that had consumed the majority of her liver.
How many people are healed, medically speaking, or anyway, from that type of liver cancer that she had?
Cindy was diagnosed at the end of the week after a biopsy with bile duct cancer. And I never heard of it before. I just knew liver cancer was a death sentence. But I didn't realize that bile duct cancer was extremely rare, that less than 4,000 people in the United States contract bile duct cancer each year. And these people have visited someplace outside of our country, usually in a jungle region, and picked up a parasite. This is extremely rare, and no one lives. No one lives from bile duct cancer, which had consumed her entire liver, except for a little.
Okay, the book is called Newton's Riddle. You will not be able to put this thriller down. Available for a donation of $20. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.